Terry thought I was Martin. It's high, isn't it? That's better. Good morning. No, not good morning. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. So I was considering Good Friday, obviously, because that's where we're at now. And I was thinking, what is it that really stands out for me? And what of that could we be sharing today? And the thankfulness theme kept coming. And I think that's already started to come within us as well. Like, being thankful for what happened on the cross, being thankful. So as we're considering Good Friday, I wonder whether we can start to be, what is it that I'm personally thankful for that happened on the cross? We've even got some cards over here and on the other side and some pens. And at the end of the talk, we're going to have a song playing and then people can just go and write something that they're thankful for and go and put it at the bottom of the cross. So that's what's going to happen towards the end. And then we're going to do communion. So all of the things that could direct us to being thankful for what Jesus did. So as I was then considering that, I thought, well, what has really stood out for me? And then what we're going to do is just have a look at those things and see if they've, any of those things are helpful for you to encourage you to be thankful to. And there are three areas. So this one slide's going to be up the whole time. It's not a complicated PowerPoint today. Jesus knew what he was facing. And the reference for that that we'll read is from Mark 9. What Jesus did on the cross and the victory of the cross, Colossians 2. And then Jesus' humanness from Hebrews 5 and Psalm 22. We're going to look at those two scriptures. And in that, what we can learn from the relationship that Jesus had with his Father and how that can encourage us to have that kind of relationship with our Father. Don't worry, that sounds like I'm hitting a lot. And when I talked to Martin about it before, I was going to do this talk, he was like, that's a lot, Helen. And I was like, I know. It's just going to be like a scattergun of thoughts. It's not going to be in-depth on any of them. It's just like a general look at all of those things. So Jesus knew what he was facing. And I've just been really hit when I was looking at the scriptures again. He really did know what he was facing. He had predicted his death, and he'd predicted the resurrection to his disciples. The scripture says this, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. That's the Mark 9 reading. So he said that to his disciples, and they obviously didn't really understand what on earth that meant at the time that he was saying it. But it shows us that he knew exactly what he was facing. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew he was going to rise again. He knew the whole thing. And that really put a thankfulness in my heart. I was just like, that's so good, because when we read the rest of the scripture and we see some of the things that Jesus said then, we can see that he really knew where he was going. He was fully God and fully man, and that comes through as well. As he faced the cross with utter confidence and utter reality that this is what I'm going to do, this was for the significance of the whole human race. Everything he was going to do was for the sake of others, and he knew it was going to be costly. He just knew it was going to be hard. Fully God and fully man just stands out as he's predicting what's going to be happening. So maybe we can find just something that we're thankful for in that. But also, as we're thinking about those preceding days, I was utterly kind of drawn again to how Jesus acted before he came to the cross. He kind of, every time he was coming across people, he just showed mercy and compassion time and time again. He even spoke in parables to help people understand kind of the values of life, the values that he was trying to impart before he went to the cross. He was giving signs and showing significance of who he was. He was just saying, this is important stuff, guys, as he knew what he was facing. I think one of the things that really hit me was, you know, at the Last Supper, he ate and he was with people that he knew would deny him and betray him. And he showed love and compassion, kind of proper servant-hearted leadership in that. And when a woman comes and pours oil all over his feet, he just shows her love and shows that there's a sign in this about how much she had got it right. All of these things are just pointing to his character as he's coming and knowing exactly what's about to happen. And just hits me again and again. What about when he was being accused? He just stood with integrity to those who mocked him or accused him. He just stood firm as to who he was. He never accepted their lies, but he knew he was going to have to go through with where that took him. That just stood again. I am thankful for my God who will do that. And he knew that the twisted words of the authorities and the mocking crowds, as they brought about his death, he was going to suffer, but there was a bigger plan as to why he was going to do it. And that bigger plan was in his mind, in his integrity, as he stood before people. So this is Jesus on those preceding days. And again, maybe something stands afresh. As I was looking at it and as I was poring over these scriptures, I was just like, I am so thankful for who you are, Jesus, for who you show me to be when I'm about to face something, when I've got things going on. You, they're nothing like what Jesus had to face. But you, Jesus, show me how to be with people around me, how to be in my attitude to life. What is important is the bigger picture. So what Jesus did on the cross is the second one. See, I told you it wasn't going to be long on each one. What Jesus did on the cross, the victory of the cross. He knew, you know, that Andy thing that he brought prophetically was just so true. He knew that there was a rescue mission for us. And Heather saying about the Father's part in that as well. He just knew the whole picture because him and his Father had planned what was going to happen. And he knew the rescue mission and he knew what that sacrificial act of love really meant. An exchange by God for our sins. An exchange for God for our sins. Absolutely, God took our place. Again, showing fully God, fully man. Absolutely blew my mind as I was looking. So you can see why I'm pointing out these three things. This one just, what actually happened on the cross can bring us to a place of thankfulness. The huge exchange for our sins. When he suffered and died, he took on the world's weight of sin. We were singing in some of those songs, the weight of sin on his shoulders. This gives us an eternal hope, an eternal joy, and it gives us ultimately eternity with our Father. These are things to be thankful for. That significance of the curtain tearing in two, that happened whilst Jesus died on the cross. The place to go to the Holy of Holies suddenly made a way for everyone to have access to the Father. Huge, significant things happening on the cross. Colossians 2 points us to be thankful. It says this. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And the context of that, it goes on to say, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. A triumph on the cross, nailing everything to the cross. This is the stuff that happens on the cross. And it also represents Jesus' servant-hearted nature. It represents his power and his significance. It is all about the victory of the cross. Even on Good Friday, when we're looking at the death of Jesus, we're remembering Easter Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus, and the whole thing points to the significance of what happened. And then we come to the third one, and this is one I'm going to spend a little bit of time on, because I don't think we always consider Jesus' humanness. So the fully God, fully man. And then when we read the scriptures, especially if we read all of the Gospels together, we get a full picture of how Jesus was before and during the crucifixion. And we see his humanness just come out. He cries in the Garden of Gethsemane. He drops of sweat, drops of blood coming from his sweat. He was passionately crying out to his Father. His emotions were flowing. And that just shows us some of his human emotions. And there's a scripture that really stood out for me when I was looking at this from Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read it slowly, but I think it just hits. It's Hebrews 5, 7 to 9, if people are following along. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So much said there that reflects back to all of the Bible readings that go through the crucifixion period of where Jesus comes to his Father. Some of those things were already said. My God, why have you forsaken me? Take this cup from me. He was talking with humanness to his Father. This fervent cry, crying with tears as he draws close to his dad. He shares his concerns with him about what he's going to face. He knows that ultimately, this is the bit that really got to me when I was looking at it again. He knows and he knows and he knows, like we said right at the beginning, that it is going to happen. He knows that he is going to face the cross. He knows that. And nothing's going to stop that. But he still cries out, I don't really want it to happen. Can you change it? Can it be different? But he knows he's going to do it. And I think that just really hit me. That means I know I can face things sometimes. Nothing like this, I know. But I can also say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And that's giving an emotional response to God at the same time as saying, I'm going to be obedient to what you ask me to do. And that's what Jesus is showing us here. Even God himself wasn't falsely polite to his Father. And I wonder how many of us sometimes in our prayers are falsely polite to our dad, when what we actually want to say is, I don't know what to do. I wonder. Do we think, well, God's a bit busy and I need to show faith and I need to be obedient and I need to stand in it. All of those things are good, not the busy bit. Those are good to say, I need to show faith and I want to walk in obedience, but we are allowed to express our emotions on the way. Simon Holly in the book Sustainable Power, I've mentioned that book before, he likens Jesus' attitude in the garden at the cross at these times he says about our emotions, he says, they're better out than in. And God was showing us that then. They're better out than in. And when he says that when Jesus says, you have forsaken me, he is expressing his deep pain. Clearly, Jesus didn't really believe he'd forsaken him because they were in it together. Clearly, he didn't really believe it, but he was expressing the pain that he had in his soul. And I'm really thankful that Jesus kind of joins with the psalmist when he does this. If you ever read the Psalms and you notice at the beginning, it's often, oh, it's so rubbish. Everything's going so terrible. Life is so hard. I'm never going to get through it. It's all a load of rubbish. Blah, 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 blah. And they're not really blahs. They're absolutely emotional outcries to God. And then it turns around. But you, God. But you. And Jesus was doing the ultimate version of this on the cross. But you, God. I'm obedient to you and these emotions. He actually quoted from Psalm 22. When he was on the cross. Psalm 22 is actually prophetic insight about what was happening on the cross. And as he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was actually quoting from the beginning part of the psalm, which was pointing to a Messiah. But that same psalm goes on, the but you God comes in. And I'm just going to read from verses 27 to 31. When the psalmist just goes to those bigger truths, and says, the Messiah is going to be calling out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then these big truths come out. All of the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. This is what happened on the cross. Declaring to a nation, declaring to people that are yet unborn, declaring to us, I have done it. It is finished. He has done it on the cross.
So a huge prophetic insight into this kind of plan of God, the suffering of Christ. The cross takes it all. When Jesus is on the cross, he takes it all. The cross points to us being freed to be with him forever. And this just blows my mind. Blows my mind. I wonder whether in our spirit, in our emotions, when we're facing any type of tough time, when we're in a dark place, can this help us to focus on being obedient and expressing our emotions? So if we look at those 3 points, I wonder, is there something standing out for you? And as we consider this, I'm just going to read a blog that I read that's been written by Pete Gregg. So he's the leader of the 24/7 prayer movement. And his wife has been very, very poorly all the way through the movement moving forward across the world. She's had severe epilepsy. And he was coming to Good Friday and thinking that things were terrible for him as well. His life was looking pretty bleak at that point. And I wonder if you feel comfortable with whether you could just close your eyes as I read his writings about this. My God, why have you forsaken me? What an alarming question for God to ask God. And there's no immediate answer, no word from heaven, no miracle, no sign except the darkness itself in the middle of the afternoon. In this moment, Jesus legitimized for all time the need we have for explanation. He also demonstrated that the explanation may not come when we think we need it most. Although we will never suffer in the way Jesus did on that day, there are Good Friday seasons in all our lives when pain, disappointment, confusion, or a sense of spiritual abandonment cause us to ask God the ultimate question, why? One night, as I slumped on the sofa, trying to come to terms with the effects of yet another seizure, God seemed to whisper 5 words in my ear. I know how you feel. Whether or not I had imagined this voice, it had an immediate impact on me. And I replied out loud, no, you don't. I was in no mood to be patronized, especially not by God who just let me down once again. How can you pretend to know how it feels? If you knew how this felt, you'd stop these seizures. Tears were scalding my cheeks. When did you ever see the face you love more than any other, contorted demonically, blue and gasping for air? When did you ever have to sit there whispering the stupidest prayers that you've ever prayed, feeling totally and utterly helpless? God, I don't think you have any idea how it feels to be one flesh with someone and to watch that person writhe as if her bones were breaking. When did you ever experience all that? Silence. Brushing away the tears, my gaze settled on a familiar postcard on the shelf above the fireplace. Just a little to the left beneath the mirror, it was Salvador Dali's depiction of the crucifixion. Christ of St. John of the Cross. God knew where I was looking because he waited a moment before whispering just 5 more words. That's how I felt then. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And he quoted there from Revelation. So if you'd like to open your eyes again, that was a blog that he gave. And it's just very poignant, wasn't it, for today, I thought. So we're going to finish there, but we're going to ask the band to come up. And Lisa's going to sing a song, if she can get herself sorted by then. Sorry, Lisa.